I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, Exhibit A and B, why you should never trust the alleged intentions of altruistic millionaires. Plus, Washington State has already lowered or repealed two newly passed taxes on the rich, but they won't use the same logic on the income tax. And could Seattle's homeless industrial complex finally come crashing down? That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Undivided. Wow, I'm having a voice crack. I'm going through puberty. I don't know. Welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Is that what's going to happen to all the kids on puberty blockers? Is they're going to go through puberty at 38, apparently, like I am now? So we've been talking a lot about the newly passed income tax in Washington State and the devastating impact that it's already having on our economy, making us less competitive to other states. I think one of the most baffling components about this is that there are two very recent examples of what happens when you target out the rich for taxation. And they are two examples that even Democrats in Washington State have already seen, spotted, and gone back and fixed. So I'm really struggling to understand why they aren't applying the same logic that they had to eventually apply to those two taxes to the income tax, which targets out millionaires. So as the first example, Governor Bob Ferguson just repealed a 10% tax on luxury aircraft over $500,000. So this was something that was just passed. It was Senate Bill 5801. It was passed last year. The Pacific Northwest Business Aviation Association came out after the passage and said that the bill passed last year established a 10% tax on the original value of aircraft owned, leased, or purchased in the state. And after that happened, aircraft began moving out of Washington. Service providers began losing customers. Ultimately, general aviation in Washington shrunk significantly over the past year. Okay, so then Democrats are like, well, that's not good. Let's go back and repeal it. Why would you think a person would behave any differently than an aircraft? They're literally saying aircraft began moving out of Washington. So they'd be somewhere else. They'd have to pay the tax on it. Okay, let's just take that. Take the logic. You can do it. It's really not too much of a stretch. And just apply it to the rich people that you're targeting. Instead of expensive aircraft, rich people. The expensive aircraft left Washington State, just flew away to somewhere else. And the rich people are going to leave Washington State. Here's Governor Bob Ferguson explaining that aircraft repeal.
House Bill 2711 makes important changes to transportation revenue policies adopted last session to make our transportation tax code more efficient. For example, it adjusts aviation fuel taxes so a tax on luxury aircraft sales can be eliminated.
Yeah, so he just found a different way to raise money that didn't target out a specific bracket, a specific thing that rich people like for taxation. So it took them less than a year to realize the error of their ways. Although they could have just listened to people last year, because when they were thinking about passing this tax, that same organization, the Pacific Northwest Business Aviation Association, told them this is exactly what would happen. Democrats didn't listen. It's exactly what happened. So they came back and they had to repeal the tax. And of course, you already know one of the other, it was more of a reduction than a repeal that happened this year was the estate tax. Last year, what did they do? They made it so that we had the highest estate tax in the entire nation. It was like 35% for the people who have the most wealth when they die. And what happened? People warned at the time, well, if you do that, rich people are going to leave Washington State and die somewhere else, especially people who are, you know, in retirement. They're not going to stay here and give 35% of everything they've worked for in their entire life to the government. What happened? Well, exactly what people warned about started happening. And so Governor Bob Ferguson reduced it.
Right now, Washington has the highest estate tax rate in the nation with a top rate of 35%. Following the passage of last year's revenue package, Senate Bill 6347 brings that rate back down to a top rate of 20%. This bill, which earned broad bipartisan support, ensures that Washington is not a significant outlier for our state tax rates.
He stands there and says that as if he didn't do it. He stands there and says that as if he didn't sign it. He stands there and says that as if people didn't warn him last year when he signed it at the 35% bracket that people would leave. I told the story about in a neighborhood near me, there's always like $2 to $5 million mansions. They never go up for sale. Never, never, never. Old money up there. And then the estate tax increase happened. All of a sudden, it was like 7 or 8 of them on the market overnight. And I asked Wes Jones, our real estate guy, what do you think is going on? He says estate tax. Rich people don't want to die here with money. So I'm really struggling why Governor Ferguson and the Democrats can't take that exact logic and say, well, geez, if the fancy airplanes left the state over the fancy airplane tax, and if rich people left the state over increasing estate taxes on wealth, then if we tax millionaires, what might happen? And we don't even have to wait a full year to realize that what we've been telling them will happen over the income tax on millionaires will happen. Have you watched the news lately? Have you picked up a newspaper lately? Headline after headline after headline after headline of layoffs and closures. T-Mobile, Meta, Oracle, VR Gaming, Rise Baking in Kent, Starbucks. Much of them in the tech sector, also some in the farm sector, which we could also talk about the logic behind that. The Washington State Farm Bureau said, hey, if you keep targeting us with all these unfair labor practices and unfair laws that restrict our labor, we're going to close down. And what happened? Family farms are closing down at a record pace. So it's really not like me sitting here saying, wow, I am Nostradamus. I am smarter than everyone. I can predict the future of what will happen. No, it's just common sense. Like a 5-year-old would figure this out. Hey, we did this and this happened. We did this and this happened. We had to undo those things. So it's going to happen with the income tax on millionaires, which is one of the reasons why I believe they know that. And I believe the ultimate goal is to, when all those people leave, it makes it easier for them to sell it as an income tax on everyone. But despite, you know, the reality of what's already happening because of the combined capital gains tax and now the income tax on millionaires, both of which target out rich people for excess taxation. Despite all of that ample evidence, Democrats will go and they'll find one altruistic millionaire to speak at their bill signing.
For those saying us rich folks will leave if taxed, I can promise you we won't pack up en masse. And any who leave will be replaced. Washington is on the brink of creating a lot of wealth through AI. We are right to capture some of it and make sure everyone benefits through education, healthcare, and more tax fairness for small businesses and working families.
How can rich people be so dumb? This is a guy who works for IBM. He's a tech executive in Seattle. And he's saying, I promise you, we're not going to leave en masse. And the people who do leave, we've got AI coming in. There's going to be a lot of AI opportunities here. We'll just replace them. We're not going to leave en masse. Again, have you looked at the jobs data? The state's own jobs data. Layoff after layoff after layoff. Meta, Oracle, as we said, gaming. Most of the top 12 layoffs that have happened recently are in the tech sector. And for him to say, oh, you know, we're going to have all of this AI activity. We literally had an AI executive, the CTO of Venice AI, on the show saying, yeah, no, I'm leaving.
I love the state. I love being here. But it is not economically viable if this tax stays for me to continue to be here in this state.
It's not economic. He's got kids here. It's so bad. He's going to pull his kids out of the state. He's lived here. He was born and raised in Tacoma. He's lived here his entire life. He's built 3 tech companies here. He currently works in AI. And he's saying, I'm leaving. Now, why would this like rich dude go to the press conference and say, oh yeah, don't worry about losing tech jobs. That's not going to happen. If it does, we'll replace them, right? No big deal. There's an important part of what he said at the bill signing that I want to alert you to. Go ahead.
Last year, I had a wealth event when our company was acquired. When we file federal taxes, I will owe one big payment. Big. I wish some of it was staying here in Washington because I believe in paying what I owe.
Last year, I had a wealth event, he said. So he had a company that was bought. He already made his money. He's saying, I got to pay federal taxes. But of course, he sold it last year. The millionaire's tax doesn't go into effect for a couple years. He already made his money. He already had his big payday. And so what he's doing is ripping the rug out from other people who want to build a company. He helped to build one, who want to build a tech company and one day sell it for tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, like he was able to do. The other thing, can you play it one more time for me, Nicole?
Last year, I had a wealth event when our company was acquired. When we file federal taxes, I will owe one big payment. Big. I wish some of it was staying here in Washington because I believe in paying what I owe.
I wish some of it was staying here in Washington. There's nothing stopping you. You can literally today cut a check to state government. Oh, I believe I should pay what I owe. I wish some of it was staying in Washington state, but alas, nothing is stopping you. And here's the other thing. He works as a tech executive for IBM right now. So he sold his company and then he got this job as a tech executive. And he's standing up there and he didn't even say anywhere in the speech that he will have to pay the millionaire's tax. He got up and he said, oh, I'm happy to be here, even if it might, might cost me more money. Why didn't he say that he'll have to pay the millionaire's tax? Well, he already sold his big thing, right? Already made all of his money. And what do you think a tech executive makes these days? Jeff Bezos paid himself $80,000 a year in salary. That was his salary. Where was the rest of the money? Stocks. That's how tech companies pay their CEOs. That's how tech companies pay their executives. This guy isn't making anywhere close to $1 million a year. There's a 0% chance that that man, as a tech executive for IBM, will have to pay the millionaire's tax. It's fake altruism. Now, he's going to have a lot of stocks because that's how tech companies pay their executives. And yes, he'd have to pay a capital gain if and when he sells those stocks, but he could do what Jeff Bezos did. And when Jeff Bezos went to sell his stocks, what did he do? He moved to Florida and he sold them in Florida where he wouldn't have to pay a capital gains tax. And he was off the hook for $1 billion in taxes. So this is a guy who already made his money based on the old way of doing business in Washington state, based on the old policies that were good for entrepreneurs and job creators. And he sold it and he got his big fat payday. And says, oh, I wish some of that could have gone to the state of Washington, but unfortunately my hands are tied. And then doesn't even admit that he doesn't make $1 million a year. I'll bet my show on it. I'll bet my freaking show on it. Brian Kirshner, you come and show me that IBM pays you in base pay more than $1 million a year and that you'll be subjected to the millionaire's tax. And I'll quit my whole show. Because I am 100% confident that you are not making $1 million a year. Now, you might have to pay a cap gains tax, but it's this fake altruism. What's in it for him? Oh, to feel good about himself. He's always been a liberal, and so he's going to let them use him as a puppet. Oh, I'm a rich person. It's no big deal. Who else is doing this? Rick Steves, the travel guru. Oh, beloved Rick Steves. He's turned into a total lefty, loony liberal at the No Kings things. He posts this long, look at me. I'm a nice man. A millionaire's tax? Let's try shared prosperity, where he goes through and says, a new tax on fat paychecks like mine was just signed into law in my home state, and I like it. I mean, puke at the West Coast liberal elites. As a wealthy person myself, I see this tax as essentially free money for all Washingtonians. Everybody in my state gains. And speaking from personal experience, I know that anyone who earns enough to be subject to this tax is beyond the point where consuming more adds to their security, their well-being, or even, arguably, their happiness, meaning there will be basically zero human cost. Zero human cost. Do I need to go back and remind you of all the layoffs that have been happening, of all the businesses that have closed, of all the businesses that say they will close and leave? You call that zero human cost? I would say losing your job is a pretty big human cost. Here's the other thing about Rick Steves. Please don't be offended by this to our older audience. He's 70 years old. He's been doing this tech travel or this travel guru thing for a long time. I would bet that the best of his money-making days are behind him and that he's probably pretty close to retirement. So will he have to pay the tax for a few years? Possibly. Maybe he's perfectly fine with this. He could pay the money now, as I said. If he really believes that this is only beneficial, there's no downside to it, why would he not write a check to the Washington State General Fund? But what he wants to do is make it harder for people to build what he built. Whether that's his intent or not, I don't think so. But that will be the outcome. Say he's 70 years old. He's been doing this for a long time, in part because of what had been a very good business climate for job creators and entrepreneurs in the state of Washington. Now, I'm not saying I don't care about the businesses that are here now and the people who have already been successful and built things here, but I think we have to care about the business leaders of tomorrow, the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the innovators of tomorrow, the people who have the capacity to keep our economy going for years and years and generations, who are making a decision today about where they want to start that business, where they want to build that big idea. And the question is, are they going to pick Washington State? And the answer for a lot of them is going to be no. And I hope that we're back here a year from now with Democrats undoing yet another obvious error, like they undid the estate tax increase and like they undid the tax on luxury airplanes. All right, coming up next, Governor Bob Ferguson, while he should have vetoed the income tax, he vetoed something else. He vetoed more money to fight organized retail theft. Why? That's a good question. We'll talk about it with the Democratic lawmaker who is very angry at him this morning. First, if you're thinking about, I don't know, getting the hell out of Washington State, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. And really, whether you're moving across the street, down the block, or to Florida or somewhere like that, Wes can help you out. Our friend Preston, undivided viewer and listener, used Wes to sell his home because they were building their dream home elsewhere.
He works out of East King County, so he deals with multi-million dollar homes. My house is not anywhere near what he sells, but he made it feel like I was one of his biggest clients. I had some really stupid questions, I felt like, and ChatGPT couldn't answer them. So I felt like I was a moron reaching out to Evie sometimes, and she had a lot of grace with her answers. So just him, the way he puts you at ease, the way he treats you like the most important client, and just his whole staff, how helpful they are.
Yeah, I think that's how everyone wants to be and deserves to be treated when they're going through one of the biggest things of their life, selling their home, building a new home, buying a new home. So go to sellwithwes.com and you can go from Sell with Wes to Sold with Wes. You can peruse all the listings that he and his team have recently sold, see how he performed for other clients, which I think is always just a good thing to do. And then you can look at the services that he offers. I would start with our home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. And then you and Wes can connect and he'll give you a free market analysis, which is basically just a lay of the land. Hey, here's what I think we need to do. Any cosmetic upgrades to your home? Here's how long I think it might take to sell. Here's what the market is doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, this one is puzzling. So, well, is it puzzling? I'll let you decide. Governor Bob Ferguson was vetoing some aspects of the new budget, and one of the things that he vetoed was $500,000 that specifically would have helped local police departments fight a real problem in Washington State, and that's organized retail theft.
Consequently, we have limited ability to absorb additional work or expenses that are not funded in the budget. That is why I vetoed a few programs. It's also consistent with how I approach budgeting. If we have a proposal to do something in our budget, we've got to have the funding to do it. When there was not funding provided and agencies could not absorb the costs, I had to veto those programs.
It's interesting because I would ask, you know, what's the price to not do it? Washington State is number one. We're number one. We're number one in the nation for retail theft. It has an estimated impact of $3 billion on our economy. If we can throw $500,000 at that problem and chip away at a $3 billion impact to our economy, because I mean, you go away and you steal something, what are you not doing? You're not paying taxes on that item. And then you have all the law enforcement if you end up getting caught and the court fees and all of those things. So it has a huge impact on our economy. So State Rep. Mari Levitt was really passionate. She's a Democrat representing kind of the area around Tacoma, south of Tacoma. And she was livid when she found out that the governor vetoed this line item. She was nice enough to join us today to talk about it. Representative Leavitt, welcome back to Undivided.
Thanks for having me, Brandy. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So did you have any inclination that the governor would veto this?
I did not. Well, I didn't have any inclination until Tuesday evening when I got a call from the governor's office and from Office of Financial Management to let me know that this was likely going to happen and that the governor had made a decision to veto it. And of course, I expressed my dismay and disappointment to the individual who called me. Again, that was just a kind messenger whose job it was to let folks know, you know, certain sections of the bill are going to be vetoed the following morning. And so, you know, I made the case, but then after that started to rally the troops because I wasn't going to just let it happen without a fight.
Yeah. So he suggests that he's vetoing this because we just don't have the money for it. What's your response to that?
Well, I put out a statement and said that I don't buy that argument. I think it's $500,000 and it's a big bang for buck. I mean, we often talk about programs that are not effective and should not be funded anymore. And I'm all about finding cuts in the budget and have done so in millions of dollars. But this isn't one of them. This is one that's proven to be effective. It has demonstrated outcomes as expected in the contracts. And the work is being done in a fiduciary responsible manner and having an impact that's positive in our communities. And so it's really hard for me to buy there's not enough for this when there, you know, we spend money on a lot of different things. And this is $500,000. It's not a lot, but it really does make a difference.
So, and maybe I'm just reading between the lines or taking it out of context. I mean, do you believe there is a different motive then? And if so, what would that be?
I don't know. I don't think there's a different motive other than it's short-sighted and a mistake to have made. I don't think, you know, I was looking at some of the other items that were vetoed in the veto letter, and they're all sections that I think are, you know, easy to pick apart or pick out. I think there also is an understanding that because the AG's office, as their organized retail theft task force, which is doing good work, by the way, they are making a dent and a difference as well, that we're doing enough. And I would argue we're not. And then this program is complementary and it's to the local jurisdictions. It's to the local counties, local businesses. I'm working with law enforcement and local law enforcement jurisdictions. And so it's different and complementary and we need to do both.
Yeah,
but I think they thought maybe it was redundant. I disagree. And I think the letter from the coalition outlined why it's not a redundancy. And so they started to back away from that argument once I said it is not, it's complementary. And so, but I still think that there's probably some small belief that the Retail Task Force and the AG's office is doing good work and we don't need to do this too. And I think they're wrong.
Yeah, that's what stood out to me because this was a big thing that the governor did when he was AG is he stood up that Retail Theft Task Force at the time. So he understands the gravity of the issue, right?
I think so. I hope so. And in fact, I've been working on retail theft and retail crime for a while and had a conversation with a member of the governor's staff when I was doing a tour of the CJTC. They need a new firearm area. And so they were bringing legislators out to take a look and the governor's office to take a look at the need for capital resources, which I agree with. But even then, someone from the governor's office talked about retail crime and retail theft and say, hey, we'd love to work with you. We understand you're working on that. And so I do think there's an interest, which is why it's such a disappointment, given the little resources that's allocated for this statewide, that this would be the section to be vetoed when it's making a difference.
Is there any recourse for you on this?
I've asked. I don't think, you know, I said, well, gosh, can we veto when we come back in session? And I would rally. I think I would have the votes to veto it. I mean, you have to get it in the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. So who knows? So I've asked the question. I don't know if we can overturn a section of a budget bill, but I'm asking our House attorney to take a look at it and see if there's any way that that's a possibility. And I mentioned that Wednesday morning. I said, if he vetoes it, can we overturn it in some manner? And I haven't got a response yet and an answer to that question. I don't think we can, but if we can, I certainly will try it. But by then, you know, 6 months is gone. The dollars aren't out in communities. Prosecutors aren't able to do the good work. They're not able to do diversion. They're not able to create the backlog. They're not able to, you know, address retail crime in communities. And And businesses and consumers and workers suffer for 6 months plus, even if we were able to overturn it. And so that's the big loss.
Yeah, and as you point out in your statement, this is money that recuperates and regenerates itself. I mean, the economic impact of having, you know, what, $1 billion in retail theft is enormous. On the public safety front, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about another bill the governor signed. Your district sits in Pierce County. The governor signed the bill that would allow sheriffs to be decertified. You were one of very few Democrats who voted against that bill. Why?
I did, because I think there were flaws in the bill. I understand the need to have sheriffs who are law-abiding and following the rules and being good role models for the officers in which they get to work. So I do understand the concerns just in general, but I also don't think that it's the legislature's role to make that determination for each county. So for example, in Pierce County, we have a Pierce County Charter Review Committee that's undergoing their work right now. And so if they want to change from an elected to a selected or elected to appointed, similar to what King County wants to do, they can do that through the charter process, and then it would go to the vote of Pierce County voters and let them decide. But I don't think it's the state's role to make that determination. And then there were also some other things in the bill. That actually part of the bill doesn't change from if you're elected, you're going to stay elected. The bill doesn't make a differential and doesn't change that for any county. But there were some other things in there that I think make it more difficult. I did co-sponsor a bill, though, that did put some parameters on sheriffs that was sponsored by WASPIC, the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police. It was a bipartisan bill that I co-sponsored with Rep. Burnett, and it made it easier to repeal a sheriff if they're not doing, for voters to be able to do that and lower the threshold, because it's pretty difficult right now. And I think that was the right approach. It required, certification. It required having law enforcement background. And I think that was the good middle of the road or compromised approach that the sheriff supported and brought forward themselves. It was their version of the bill. And I think that was the better bill, which is why I co-sponsored it. And had we moved that, I would have happily signed on. Yeah. But we chose not to. The bill got a hearing and that's it. It didn't move out of committee. And I think that was a mistake.
Well, and the key difference being that still leaves the power up to voters to decide, do they want to take out of office the person who they put into office? Your sheriff in Pierce County, Keith Swank, has been raising holy hell about this bill. He thinks they're coming for his job. Do you believe that this bill, this new law, is anti-democratic?
I don't think that the bill as written is appropriate. I think it is up to the voters or the county, which the charter review in Pierce County is made up of citizens who got elected to serve on the committee. People voted for them. And I think that's a better approach to do. And this is not about one person's behavior, which oftentimes I don't agree with in terms of commentary. I'll say that. We can't do policy based on an individual or based on a couple things in this manner, in this transformative manner. We have to keep the individual personalities, as sometimes challenging that they are, out of the decision-making process for policy. And I think this bill had flaws and didn't quite work for me. And so that's why I voted no. And I think it was the right vote for me to take. And so.
Yeah. All right. Representative Maury Leavitt, we appreciate it. And update us if you do come up with some sort of workaround for the funding on the
I will.
Retail theft.
I'm going to scramble to find something.
Wish I could write you a check for it. But alas, I'm just a humble podcaster. So, all right. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks, Nicole. Have a good day.
Yeah, there's definitely, some things there are some things that you look at them spending money on laser hair removal for transgender prison inmates. I just always have to go back to that one because they're spending more than $1 million a year on that. Okay, what is the return on that investment? So yeah, $500,000 to fight retail theft when the AG's office has a retail theft task force might seem like a lot, but if you're recouping or stopping the economic impact, it makes literally no sense for the governor to veto that. And I'm also glad to hear that Rep. Leavitt, as a Democrat, voted against that very bad bill that will allow an unelected board of bureaucrats to remove a duly elected sheriff, which will be the topic of our episode of Sundays with Subscribers this week. All right, we'll get to a double dose of unbelievable coming up next. First, if you are trying to save some money as a family, I know times times are tough. Gas prices are high. Hopefully that'll come back down soon, but we'll see. You can always look at your insurance to see if you're paying more than you need to be paying, if you're paying for insurance that you don't really need. That was the case for Mike and I when we went to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com. What does the First Mark Challenge entail? What does that even mean? So you go to First Mark and you basically give them a chance. You give them an opportunity to look over your current insurance, talk about, you know, your insurance needs. It takes about a half hour to an hour. Then they'll go out, shop the market for you, and come back with their recommendations. And for a lot of Undivided viewers and listeners, myself included, they found that they could be saving you money and you'd still have just great insurance. Because it's always a balance, right? You want to have good insurance that's going to cover you in the event that something bad happens, but you also want to make sure you're not paying more for it than you need to. So from Robin to Carol to Debbie to Connie, they said they're so impressed with First Mark. Robin's saving $100 a month. That's a lot, $1,200 a year. Connie says, super impressed with First Mark. Learned about them through watching Brandy's show. Was looking for a different car insurance company, so I made the call. I received an email back, and they were able to save me a considerable amount on my car insurance. We love hearing stories like that. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. They always have your best interest in mind. And with that, let's get to a double dose of Unbelievable. What are we going to do when space aliens really land? Then that will be believable, and then we'll have to change the graphic.
Oh,
land again. I meant land again.
I was going to say it. Well, I might be closer than we think. Wait till sanity check.
Oh, okay. I don't even know what you put in there. So I'm excited. Oh. I'll be surprised with the rest of you. Mm-hmm. All right. So King County has a serious fraud problem. And we're seeing this a lot in these progressive jurisdictions. I mean, you go to Minnesota, in Minneapolis, down in L.A. Fraud. And now I think more people are paying attention to these issues, which is good. So you've probably seen all these headlines that really started in earnest in July of last year about fraud within the Department of Community and Human Services in King County, which if you're an out-of-state viewer, King County is the Seattle is in King County. So there were a variety of fraud issues, but basically what they found, juvenile diversion programs, that was a big source of fraud. A lot of programs tied to sort of the social justice, racial justice movement of 2020, where they were just, you were BIPOC, take some money. We're not even going to look into how you used it. A lot of problems there, but just more broadly with the Department of Community and Human Services. A lot of missteps, you know, missing documentation of how the money was spent, subcontractors who weren't being paid or were being paid, but no oversight as to whether they actually finished the work. So it turned into a big deal. So, of course, the question is, okay, if you know fraud exists, and this was all exposed by an audit, so good that the audit system is working, you know, what are you actually going to do about it? Are you going to go back and claw back money? Are you going to put new restrictions in place, more oversight in place? Now, here is something that is truly unbelievable if it actually happens. A Seattle City Council member is looking at all those fraud headlines with King County and saying, you know what? Time that we look into this too. Which, I'm sorry, there's not a lot of progressives that are out there saying, yes, let's audit spending specifically as it pertains to homelessness. Could this be is it the straw that breaks the camel's back on the homeless industrial complex? So Maritza Rivera, who's a Seattle City Councilwoman, said that she is very concerned about the King County audit, finding a lack of oversight and potential misuse of funds to the tune of tens of millions of dollars, if not more. She said, quote, the city works with many of the same human services organizations as the county, so it's important for us to ensure our contracts have adequate oversight and accountability. What's happening at the county is serious, and I want to thank Executive Zahalai and council members Dombowski, Perry, and Dunn for taking action to get to the bottom of these issues. This is not to say our organizations are not doing good work, but in light of the issues at the county, we would be remiss if we did not conduct our own due diligence. And she says she's reached out to the acting city auditor to discuss next steps. Now, one of the big parts there is she specifically wants to audit Seattle Human Services contract. Seattle has about $400 million in that contract. Where does most of it go? The King County Regional Homelessness Authority, which is a total failed experiment. There's already been a lot of questions around the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. Was what's this like regional approach to dealing with homelessness? Huge bloated salaries for executives. And the biggest issue, they haven't made homelessness any better. And it's been around for years now. It was supposed to be like the big fix for the homeless crisis. And I'm sorry, but one big indicator of fraud is that money you're spending to accomplish a task isn't accomplishing that task. So, I mean, I don't know how, if a city council member says you already have evidence in the same service providers of fraud. So I don't know how her fellow city council members could say, yeah, no, let's not look into that fraud any further. So I, for one, am very happy to hear it coming from progressives. And I'm very happy to hear it being targeted at the homeless industrial complex, because I think probably more than any area of government spending, the homelessness crisis is rife with fraud. All right, let's get to a second dose of Unbelievable, a little quickie. Maybe I shouldn't use the word quickie, but I'm about to talk about a school. All right, this story takes us to Sunrise Elementary School in Kent, Washington. And as the sun rose yesterday, this morning, earlier this week,
yeah, earlier
whenever
this
picture was taken, as the sun rose at Sunrise Elementary School, it rose upon an upside-down American flag. Which, of course, is the sign of, like, distress. And I'm sure you have it, because I've got one liberal in our neighborhood that flies their American flag upside down. And it's because, you know, like, Trump is, the country's in danger and our democracy is in peril. So let's just say somebody took a picture of this and was not too happy with it. Now, giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, as we do, we reached out to the school. Sam Maranto, the principal, was very nice, sent us a quick response. It says, we had a sub-custodian that day, and they didn't realize that the flag was upside down. One staff realized that, it says they were upside down. So was the Washington State flag also upside down? I can't tell by this picture.
Yeah, we can't tell. It says, I believe so.
He says, once it was realized, the issue was immediately addressed. Our flags should never be upside down, and I do not anticipate this will happen again. Good. So I was like telling Nicole, I was like, do we talk about this today? Maybe a custodian truly did. Just didn't pay attention. It was still, you know, dawn's early light.
Just filling in.
Nothing.
Just it not was taking still dawn's early light. Well done.
And just wasn't, you know, was just phoning it in.
Yeah.
Didn't so look up. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But if you saw an upside down American flag at Sunrise Elementary School in Kent, there is no emergency. They're not calling for help.
Apparently, it's difficult to flip a flag because it took at least 8 hours between the time they were notified and the time it got flipped back.
I just feel like, okay, let's go through the motions. You're putting up a flag. I'm not doing it like this. Maybe it's a crank or something. You're going like this. Or you're going like this, right?
Of course.
Looking at the flag.
To make sure it doesn't get caught and make sure it doesn't, you know, snag on anything. Yes,
well,
I believe
to make sure
up.
It got all the way to the top.
Exactly.
If not for any other reason. Right. No one's going like this. No one's going like this.
Right. And you'd think you'd give it a little salute.
Salute.
See you later.
I don't know. Are you supposed to salute if you're not a member of the military? I don't know. I don't think you're allowed,
I believe.
If my job was raising a flag, I would sit there and I would, you know me, I love
there you go, hand over the heart.
Patriotic mm-hmm, songs. Mm-hmm. And I would just start singing the national anthem.
Every morning. Oh, I love that.
I wouldn't do the Pledge of Allegiance because I don't like the Pledge of Allegiance. But other than that, most patriotic things I'm all fine with. Okay. Pam Bondi, fired. You're fired. We'll talk about that coming up next and our segment, Florida Report. You can tell I'm excited for it to be the end of the week. Only because, I'll save my bad news for the end. It's not really bad news. It's just sad news. I'm just having a rough day. First, happening today, you still have time to sign up to go to Zach's Cutting Through the Market Noise live webinar. It's happening today at 3:30 p.m. He's going to be talking a lot about Iran. So if you're concerned about what's happening in Iran and how it could impact the markets in your retirement portfolio, I would just hop on. You can listen passively, like if you're at work, you don't have to ask questions if you don't want to. But I think it's just a good opportunity to, as he says, cut through the market noise, what's happening there. He's also going to touch on AI, crypto, and tech. And of course, they'll discuss the real fundamentals of value investing that Bulwark uses to focus on risk management. They are always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. Not only do I trust my retirement to Zach Abraham and the team at Bulwark Capital, but my mommy does too. Isn't that nice?
Oh, so do I.
And Nicole does. Yes, my mother does too. She was very happy on Christmas because she got this nice big box of chocolate-covered somethings to her door. And she said, look at this. It was from the team at Bulwark Capital. She was like, oh, I really like them.
Precious.
I know. Isn't that nice? Anyway, you can join the webinar today at 3:30. You can also schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review and subscribe to Zach's Daily Market Recap at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right. The rumors are true. Pam Bondi is out as attorney general. He's firing all the women. I might want to fire a man and just make it even, or people are going to start to lose their mind. All right, let's see what President Trump had to say about it. He said, Pam Bondi is a great American patriot and a loyal friend who faithfully served as my attorney general over the past year. Pam did a tremendous job overseeing a massive crackdown in crime across our country, with murders plummeting to their lowest level since 1900. We love Pam, and she will be transitioning to a much-needed and important new job in the private sector to be announced at a date in the near future, and our Deputy Attorney General and a very talented, respected legal mind, Todd Blanche, will step in to serve as Acting Attorney General. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald Trump. So was it that, or was it something else? I mean, there's been a lot of rumors around Pam Bondi for a while. I mean, I said Pam Bondi should have been fired. Maybe it was too harsh. I said she should have been fired after she doubled down on cracking down on free speech, essentially, and didn't seem to really comprehend the First Amendment. And then I was sort of scared because then I got invited to the White House and she was sitting on the panel with me. And I was like, I hope she didn't read my posts because I don't want them to kick me out of the White House. But Pam Bondi's gone. But that was a nice comment from the president. You know, so obviously he doesn't want people to like hate her, but she's also was criticized with her handling of the Epstein files, which really got the base angry. So perhaps it's a combination of these things. Then she had that really bad congressional hearing. So I don't know. Sorry, Pam.
I bet Christie's thankful she's taken a little bit of a tension off of her.
Yeah, she needs it. That's a rough husband
for Christie.
I know. Well, and then people are also saying that Tulsi Gabbard is going to get the boot
because
she doesn't agree
with
Trump on Iran. That would break my heart, too.
I don't like it.
All right. To the moon.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Forest 25 inches.
They don't finish the countdown?
4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition. And lift off. The crew of Artemis II now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
Man, I would love to be that person.
It was actually, I was a little nervous watching it. I didn't want it to be one of those, you know.
Roger, roll.
Just go wrong.
I think that's pretty normal. I think they're probably pretty nervous, well, too.
But I think
Cole's like, well, I didn't want it to blow up. I don't think anybody's rooting for it to blow up. Oh my gosh. There were some posts saying kids didn't watch it in schools, Nicole said. And it's like, we always used to watch the,
yeah.
I mean, maybe it's because so many rocket type things launch these days compared to, you know, back in the 70s, 80s.
Probably not in the 80s. It was, I don't think it was required, but we still did.
Well, but maybe they stopped it after that one blew up and all the kids are like, ah!
I think they might have. because I think it was required. I think they made them show kids the launches before that. And so, you know, the only thing I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. I do think a lot of things are hidden from us, things like that. But, you know, the moon landing thing, I've never been like a conspiracy theorist until I heard them all talking about this. And I'm like, wow, you're really making it sound like we've never been there before. And a couple people said, like, for the first time. And then they're like, I mean, the first time again. And I was like,
well, it's the first time we're going to the dark side of the moon, right?
So
it's
going to go. They were saying this is a prep. This is going around.
Right.
But then the next one that's supposed to happen in the next couple of years is supposed to land. This is a prep.
And they said for the first time.
And so then they're like, for women.
There's a woman on there. And then like the flight chief is black.
Well, yes, for this one. Okay. So, but this one is the furthest they've ever gone into space, I guess.
Yeah.
But when they land, and the next time they land, it'll be, they'll be a female on the crew as well. And so they're like, so when they said first time for a woman.
Yeah. So this is Artemis 2. So Artemis 3 is targeted to land the first woman and the next man on the lunar surface in 2027/2028, if all goes well. To infinity and beyond.
Did you watch some of the things that went wrong leading up to it?
Yeah, there's somebody had like a medical issue.
No,
right?
Well, the ones that I heard were there was a battery looked like it was overheating, and so they had to check it, but it ended up being just the monitor that was faulty or whatever, which I believe is what happened in Apollo 13. There was a faulty monitor.
Yeah.
But and then also the self-destruct button wasn't working.
Why would they ever need the self-destruct
button? So if they were headed towards if it somehow veered off course and it was going to go right into Miami, they self-destruct it.
And they kill themselves?
Well, either NASA on the ground or them, I assume. Yes.
Wow. They're brave.
Yeah.
They are brave. But
they found a workaround to that, which I'm assuming is just some other guy pushing the button.
Yeah. Don't worry. We'll self-destruct it for you.
We'll take care of that. We got somebody looking at you.
Good stuff. All right. Well, good for us. We actually have a Kennedy Space Center.
10. Oh,
there it is again. Sorry.
I don't want it again. 7.
RS-25.
I'm trying to get... to our you can get rid of it now. I'm trying to get to our very own Kennedy Space Center correspondent in Florida. It is our weekly segment. Why are we laughing so much today? Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore. People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, I hear while all of us watched the NASA takeoff. You watched the NASA takeoff. Well,
I did. I happened to see it with my own two eyes, just a chemtrail going straight up instead of sideways. And I was like, oh, that's the launch to the moon.
Those are the astronauts. Well, that's pretty cool. Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. So in Florida, accomplishing something that we can't in Washington State. We are just the honor system when it comes to illegals not voting here. But Ron DeSantis signing into law Florida's version of the SAVE Act. So what does it do?
So this reinforces what is already a constitutional law in Florida. I think DeSantis likes to bring these things to the forefront to deter, any sort of voter fraud that might be happening, but also strengthen punishments for any voter fraud that's found. It also increases oversight on third-party companies that go out and get voter registration, requires them to make sure that they're getting the proper documentation from people that they're legal citizens to vote. And then one of the other things I kind of really liked in this is there's also a candidate accountability section of this that talks about how candidates have to affirm that they're eligible for office, disclose if they have dual citizenship, and then also puts a little bit of a group together that can go in and double check and confirm and penalize any candidate that's not being honest about their qualifications.
Yeah, a little more oversight. So here's what Governor DeSantis had to say about the law.
Our Constitution in the state of Florida says only American citizens are allowed to vote in our elections. And so we need to make sure that that is the law.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, so Florida, most states are going through this whole thing with Real ID, where depending on the state, and this is what I don't understand. We're all in a federal election, you know, if everybody's voting for like the president, I feel like there should be the same rules and regulations for that vote. Yet in a state like ours, we'll give illegals driver's licenses all day long, and then we'll register them to vote on just the honor system. So it's a totally different system than it is in states like Florida or wherever it is. I just feel like it should all be consistent.
It should. Like you said, considering federal elections, if you want to do whatever you want to do with your own state, you shouldn't, but do what you want to do. But like federal elections, can't have a state like Washington canceling out all the responsibility of a state like Florida when it comes into voting for the presidency.
Yeah, makes no sense. It should be. And I know that issue is left to the states. But maybe it shouldn't be. I mean, again, as you said, local elections, do what you want to do. You want to have, you know, loosey-goosey laws for local elections and the citizens vote you into office anyway, fine, but it doesn't make any sense. Okay, yeah. So there is, DeSantis is calling for the immediate impeachment of a judge named Tiffany Baker. This is a really horrible story. So just explain sort of so this is a convicted sex predator, child sex predator, like was caught up in a sting, right?
Yeah. He was caught up in a sting trying to meet an underage girl to do stuff.
Yeah. You know? And so had been released on bail, pending trial, went to trial, was convicted. And this judge released him pending sentencing?
Released him pending sentencing. And he goes home and almost immediately tortures and murders his 5-year-old stepdaughter, Missy.
oh my gosh. And it's like, okay, he's been convicted now. So you can, that is so rare to send someone home on a crime like that, pending sentencing. Here's what Governor DeSantis had to say about this judge.
Until you start holding these judges accountable, they are going to continue to find ways to benefit the criminal element. This was an outrage. This was such an easy call to make sure that this guy was put behind bars. And this judge refused to do it, knowing the risks. And the result has obviously been a tragedy. So Florida Constitution vests the House of Representatives with the ability to bring an impeachment against a circuit judge with two-thirds majority. You know, last time I checked, we've got way more than two-thirds of Republicans. Honestly, I think some Democrats would vote to impeach given what happened in this case.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Why would they not do it?
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, when I was reading more into this, I guess the judge had said, like, he wasn't found of convicted of anything violent, but that's because he got caught in a sting. Who knows what would have happened to that girl that he was supposedly going to meet had they not had a sting. So I think, you know, speaking as a judge, speaking for the intentions of a criminal like that is just something that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, that's horrible. And she, yeah, the judge said that he'd already been out of jail for a year, hadn't had any violations of the conditions of his release, and had no quote unquote violent criminal history. And then it was him and this 5-year-old's mother who beat her and killed this. It's just insane. So yeah, I totally agree with DeSantis that they ought to go in there and remove this judge. I saw this really interesting post on X. I can't remember who did it. But like, if you're a bartender and you overserve someone and they go out and kill someone, you can be held criminally liable for that. Yet we don't hold judges criminally liable when they make a decision like this and somebody goes out and kills someone. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
All right, let's do a fun one. Have you seen, so Trump's presidential library, we've got some video here that the president put on Truth Social. It is going to be in Miami.
Yes.
And I think it's pretty cool looking.
I think it's pretty cool looking. And I was telling you earlier, like, so many of my real estate clients are so excited for this because it's just going to bring such like a, I don't know, just a new element to what Miami is. And it just looks so awesome.
Yeah, a new little tourist attraction and stuff.
Yeah.
And it always is funny. And this is just where politics ruins everything. You know, the conservatives have been very harsh on what the Obama presidential library looks like in Chicago. And I do think that one's kind of ugly, especially when his whole theme was hope. It seems very like doom and gloom and angry building. But then, you know, the Democrats say Trump's one is ugly. Oh, Trump's is ugly. It's like, okay. You know, and Trump's just looks like a Trump building, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It'll fit right into the Miami skyline. And it's supposed to be a hotel and office space, as well as the library on the bottom few floors. Looks like there's a replica of a plane and a jet and pieces of the White House are going to be part of it. I think it'll be pretty awesome.
A lot of gold, probably. The Babylon Bee said that there was going to be a solemn reflecting pool of liberal tears.
I love it.
I know, it's good. All right, Miranda, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's not even controversial anymore. People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Next time we need to actually send Miranda to the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, as opposed to, you know, just having her happen to see it in the sky. So I'm a little jealous. I would like to see that.
Hey, let's both go down there for the one where they go to
where they go to the moon, and I'll just cling on the outside.
Okay.
Go to the moon with them. Or die in orbit, whichever. All right, we'll get to our comments coming up next. I promise we're not drunk today. I've drank literally nothing.
Sure seems like
if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, no RHA, I'm not doing your ad reads drunk. I am sober as a judge. Go to rhawa.org, rhawa.org, and they have a plethora of services that they offer housing providers in the state of Washington, not the least of which is just helping you navigate complex situations, changing rules and regulations. We hear from landlords all the time that are like, oh my gosh, things have gotten so bad for us. Well, RHA is in your corner. So you can do that. They also have events all across the state of Washington. They provide you with screening and forms that you can use, you know, for tenants, et cetera. and they're down in Olympia and really all year round advocating on your behalf for good housing policy. So RHAWA.org, they really are just Washington's trusted resource for empowering housing providers and trying to make sure that some of this bad housing policy doesn't stick. Okay, our daily subscriber show poll. I said I was going to do this, so I did a repeat of a poll we did after the couple days after the first strikes in Iran. And I asked, could your opinion of U.S. military action in Iran change if gas prices rise too high as a result? And I asked that question after they'd only gone up like 2 cents. And King Five was like, gas prices have gone up 2 cents. We're going to lose our minds. And only 5% of you at the time said yes, that it could change. Mm-hmm. Most of you are like, nah, I'm going to feel the same way regardless of how high gas prices go. So, Nicole, I believe you said yes at the time.
I said yes, depending on for how long, and I'm still in that camp. If it, I mean,
okay,
if
so it you're actually unchanged. End,
yeah, if it doesn't end in the next couple of weeks and gas prices go down, then I'm going to be a little angry.
I will say I expected the difference in the two polls, given how high gas prices now mm-hmm. are, to be much different, but it's almost the same. A little bit up, 7% now say that, yes, I could change my mind
right.
if gas prices continue to be like this.
We can take care of this problem over there. And it's a small price to pay, but
okay. it's hard.
I can
when
change
you're
my mind after a few weeks.
Yeah, it just depends on how much wiggle room you have in your family's budget. I mean, Mike's got a diesel truck now, and we were going to the property this weekend, although that might have to go on the back burner for reasons I'll explain in a moment. But and I'm like, really, you're going to, because he was talking about going there and back. I'm like, absolutely. You know how much diesel is? I said, not a chance. Cynthia says, as I don't have all the facts, my opinion on military action in Iran is neutral. I only wish it would have started before Iran shot the 30,000 protesters earlier this year. Cynthia says, I see more pluses in the increase in the price of gasoline. A crazy regime won't have nuclear weapon capability. We have a lot of new friends in the Middle East. The NATO nations have been revealed for the self-serving cowards they are. True, true, true. James, it's only temporary. It's only a temporary spike with an obvious cause. At least this time we are starting from a lower base price with drill, baby drill attitude. The exact opposite of what we started with under Biden. He did everything to up the prices and tried to make Russia the scapegoat and Trump the scapegoat because they'll just make Trump the scapegoat for everything. But I did appreciate that during his address last night, Trump talked about gas prices mm-hmm. because there is that acknowledgement. Like, don't tell us it's not happening and that it's not your fault. And that's what I think Biden did, you know, blamed everyone else. Like, just tell me, yes, this is going on. We're trying to make sure it's as brief as possible.
And I really hope when they do go down, they go down significantly, maybe to lower than they were, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully we get a whole bunch of oil from them.
Yeah. Erin says her mind won't change for a different reason. She says, I thought our intervention in Iran was a bad idea in the first place. So high gas prices are not going to change my mind about that. Just reconfirms what I already thought. And I'm sure there are a lot of people in that mm-hmm. camp. Okay, comments. My little dog Lucky had to go back in for surgery this morning. She needed an emergency surgery. This poor dog,
her third one,
has had three surgeries since January 12th because she had this knee. Very common knee issue, like she had a torn
kind of an ACL,
like,
yeah,
right? Basically. Dog and then it was supposed to be a long recovery, like 12 to 14 weeks. So she'd been in her cone with her lick sleeve and very limited mobility. And then the outside of her skin started to get red, almost looked like it had like become an almost an open wound type thing. And so they said that they thought it was because this internal sort of mesh that her body wasn't absorbing it. And so like 2 weeks ago, they cut that infection out, sewed her back up, and they're like, this should take care of it. Well, no, it started to reform. And now today they have to go in there. She's probably right there right now getting it done. They have to take out these screws they put in her bone back in January.
They think she might be allergic to those, right?
Or they think that there's an infection in the bone, ugh. Like around those screws or something. So I was like a mess this morning and last night, a mess.
I mean, this poor dog who's just so happy
just
so fun, and she's just so depressed.
Yeah, and Mike and I were bummed because we had this big plan to go out to our property in Eastern Washington and fish and stuff, and she loves it out there, and her leg was getting better, and now, you know, she's going to be back to square one almost, and it's just so sad. I'm so depressed about it, so maybe I'm overcompensating today by acting very happy and having fun on the show.
Well, you're happy you get to spend the next 3 days with your dog.
I know. Anyway. And we just lost our other dog. Anyway, on them not learning with the Washington state policy and targeting rich people for taxation, Thomas Miller says, why is the answer to problems always more taxes? Yeah.
More money, more money.
That's more money, bigger government. Klein, Rhonda, says Washington is going to be the first third world state. We're almost there. I don't know. California will probably beat us there. Country guy, I want to be a replacement millionaire. Where do I sign up? Yeah, that guy's saying, oh, if we lose millionaires, we'll gain them back. It's like, who? Okay. La Pickett, I will not see a benefit from this. 80% of working citizens in Washington will not see a benefit from this. Right, because, you know, there are some tax offsets, but it's only like 25% of all the revenue they're bringing in is going back to people. And it's like working families tax credit. So unless you're at a certain income threshold.
It's making changes that they should change regardless. Mm-hmm. They should be cutting other places and not charging businesses the way they do, right, or not taxing businesses the way they do already.
And they jacked up business taxes last year and then are like, wow, we're cutting business taxes.
Yeah.
I go, okay. Just exactly. The most dishonest, disingenuous. On Ferguson vetoing funds to combat retail theft, Lynn Blevins says they add crap to the budget all the time they don't have money for. Right. Like, let's not act like a steward of taxpayer dollars, Bob.
Oh, I'm not going to add that unless, you know, I can pay for it.
Yeah. Kathy says $500K we don't have. How about not paying for transgender surgery for inmates? Right. Mm-hmm. Scott, spending money on illegals but not retail theft? Makes sense. The state is run by clowns. Really? On the flag hanging upside down at a school, first of all, Chuck gave me his daily sponsorship for Unbelievable. Boop, mm-hmm. Happy Thursday. Moon Goddess, upside down flags, kind of on purpose, but yeah, oops. I know. Unless it was like pitch black out.
I appreciate the principal saying that should never happen to the American flag.
And it will not happen again.
And it will not happen again.
The Washington State flag, I think it might be time to hang that thing upside down. I think we might actually be in a crisis. Katie Williamson, add that to the per flag. Add to that the per flag code. The U.S. flag is never to be flown below any flag of any other kind. Is that true?
Yes, I know I've heard that.
So should the state? Oh, because the whole thing was upside down.
The whole thing was probably upside
down. Oh, so they went. I bet that's what happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That almost makes the accident.
How do you not notice?
I know. Oh my gosh. Miranda put a note in here. You should tell the story about mom, about the guy she stopped in a truck with the Trump flag above the American flag. Oh my gosh.
She stopped him.
Oh my gosh. My mother. So my mom, you know, who's not the biggest Trump fan, but she's very, she is very into veterans issues. She was like a national vice president for AmVets, like travels all around the country doing stuff for veterans. So my mom's, her heart when it comes to veterans is in the right place. But she, like, there was a guy in a truck and the truck had an American flag and a Trump flag above the American flag, like a big one, flagging. Oh. And she, like, they were at a stoplight or stop sign or something. And she got out and told him that the flags should be the other way around. And she claims that he was very appreciative of her telling her this. I tend to think he probably wasn't, but either way.
Well, you know, maybe. If she didn't add any, like, extra commentary to that, it's probably fine.
And my mom's a nice lady, so I'm sure she just was like, you know. Pam Bondi being fired, Crash Bandit says she fudged up the Epstein files hard. I agree. Mm-hmm. On Florida Report, Big Princess, not sure if this has been discussed, but does everyone realize that the first four letters of gator is the Spanish word for cat? Gato. Now it makes sense why Miranda's gator meows. Wow. That's some deep thought right there. We'll end with Old Sub Sailor with a $50 super chat. Just touched down at SeaTac after spending almost 2 weeks behind the former Iron Curtain. After seeing the lasting damage of socialism and communism, I will return with renewed resolve to fight them, even in the People's Republic of Washington State.
Aww.
We love that. And Julie B. Free Citizen gave me $5 for Lucky. Thank you. Yes, I'll buy her an extra special treat when she's feeling better, because she's going to... I'm just hoping she lives through it. Three times under the anesthesia.
She's a tough one.
I know. I just love her so much. She's literally my best friend.
I just hate that she's sad because she's so happy.
I know. Mike tells me not to tell people my dog's my best friend. And I'm like, why? He's like, because she's a dog. And I'm like, okay, I don't care. All right. I'll get to sanity check on aliens coming up next. First, April showers bring May. Who am I kidding? We live in Western Washington. There's going to be showers through April and May. And April showers just bring clogged, overflowing gutters, which can damage your home from your roof to your foundation. So, fortunately, my friends at Valentine Roofing are ready to come to your rescue. Right now, bundle and save 10% off your entire job when you add new gutters to any new roofing project. So get a new roof, might as well get some new gutters as well, 10% off. Plus, Valentine offers gutter guards to help leaves and needles keep leaves and needles out for good, giving you an additional layer of defense against clogged and overflowing gutters. I really need to do that because when they came out to clean out our gutters, I was like, ooh. It was rough in there. I really need to get some of those gutter guards. All right, so schedule your free roofing and gutter estimate today to bundle and save 10%. Just call 206-ROOFING for your free estimate, 206-ROOFING, and ask them what other things on your outdoor spring to-do list they might be able to help you with. 206-ROOFING. Okay, with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right. Is the United States government breeding alien human hybrids? Former Congressman Matt Gaetz went on Newsmax and said, yes, indeed they are. And so Newsmax turned around and asked Representative Tim Burchett, a Tennessee Republican, if that's true. And he wouldn't deny it.
Aliens that were living were in forced breeding programs with humans that had been abducted from war zones and from even the caravans of migrants.
All right. I mean, you know, I don't have the tinfoil hat on just yet, Congressman, but I'm wondering, you know, kind of how you react to that, because you are connected. You're on the UFO subcommittee. I mean, I'm just wondering what you make of that. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, I'm still a member of Congress, so I can't really comment too much on what Matt said. But I will say this.
So wait, seriously? Are you being serious or is that tongue-in-cheek?
I'm being 100% serious. Okay. I've been 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I just tell you this, if they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up, you'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. We just need to disclose it all. I'm sick of it. I'll just tell you this, I was briefed last week on an issue, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago, and it would have set the earth on this country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers.
Wow, that's really reassuring. Really reassuring. The truth is out there. I'm actually slightly offended they don't want to use my DNA for alien-human hybrid. Okay, I'm available. All right. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. If you'd like to get this cool truth teller hat I have on, if you are a fellow conspiracy theorist, you can get it right now, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and then you just hit shop the merch store. It's right there. Free shipping on orders over $30. What else? Oh, yeah, coming up on Sundays for subscribers, Pierce County Sheriff Keith Swank is joining us to talk about how he plans to fight back against
the
bill
bestie
that could remove him from office. And look, he and I, we haven't always seen eye to eye. So I think we can put that aside for the sake of saving democracy. So if you'd like to become a paid subscriber, go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show for $5. We would sure appreciate it. So we'll see subscribers on Sunday. We'll see the rest of you on Monday at noon. And have a great Easter.